And we're going to go through the text like we normally do. Begin with prayer and do Genesis 39. In my mind, this is one of the best pictures in the Bible of God's sovereignty. We find that passage in Romans 8:28 that we all really like, that says that God causes all things to work together for good. But then there's some qualifications here. To those who love God and to those who are the called ones according to His purpose. And Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they come to Me, and I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone take them out of My hand." God will finish what He starts with believers. And that's true with us. Just like He's done with Joseph, He's given Joseph His plan for Joseph's life. And remember way back when the covenant was made with Abraham, and God told Abraham that his people would be in 400 years of captivity. And that's exactly what happened there. Now they're in the place that God promised they would be through Abraham. And Joseph has been the one to take them there. And we're going to see that as we go through this passage, what happened to Joseph. We know about the pit, the coat of many colors, and the pit. Tonight we're going to learn about Potiphar. Potiphar. And I have a little four-word way to describe this whole scene. We go from the pit to Potiphar to prison, then ultimately we go to power. He is made an administrator over the entire Egyptian empire, and that is young Joseph, and we're going to see that unfold. But let's begin in chapter 39, verse 1. But before we begin, as is our custom, let's have our prayer together. Father, we bow in Your presence tonight, just praising You for who You are, for Your essence, for Your attributes, for those characteristics that make You God, for Your eternal life, for Your righteousness, for Your justice, which are always in balance, for Your power, great power, for the fact that You're everywhere present, and for the fact that You never change. You are the eternal God. You are El Shaddai, the Almighty God. And we worship You. And Father, we are so mindful that You loved us so much that You took on Yourself a body so that You could hang on a cross and pay our sin debt in full through the Lord Jesus Christ, who was then buried and rose again the third day to give us the good news, Father, that one day we will rise again and we will be with You forever because of His shed blood. Thank You for our teaching ministry. I pray that You would use it for Your honor and Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we are. Now we find Joseph, he's being delivered by the that band that came through, the marauders, the Arabs. And in chapter 39, verse 1, we read, "Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there." And I would imagine he paid a pretty good price for Joseph. The Ishmaelites made a lot of money off of selling slaves. And that's would be no different here. Verse 2. Now this is a key phrase right here, a key verse. "The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man." And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. That's tremendous right there. That sets the pace for this whole chapter. The Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord is with you if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. God has a plan for you. God had a plan for Joseph, and he's carrying out his plan as we read here. Now in verse 3, the whole thing begins to develop. It says, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. You say, well, could that happen? Well, we have a ministry called Salt and Light. And we are to so live our lives that people see the invisible Christ living in us by our words, by our actions. And Joseph demonstrated that he was a servant of the living God, probably through his character, his integrity. But he demonstrated to Potiphar that he was a child of the living God. So his master saw that the Lord, that's Yahweh, was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. That's an amazing truth. That's Joseph's testimony. And we're going to see what he's going to go through. It's going to be unbelievable what he goes through. But yet, in every incident, every moment, down to every second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, the Lord was with Joseph. And again, if we know Jesus Christ as Savior, God the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. And it should be apparent that that's the case with everyone that we come in contact with, that God the Holy Spirit lives in us. And that's exactly what Joseph did. So God made everything that he did to prosper in his hand. Verse 4, so Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Now that's Potiphar. Potiphar saw something different in Joseph. He said, this young man is special. So he gave him a special job. Then he made him, here it is, overseer of his house. Wow. I mean, that's a special servant. That's the servant over the servants. That's like making him the administrator of his house. And all that he had, he put under his authority. Gracious. I mean, Joseph must have made a tremendous impact on Potiphar. Now, I didn't mention this at the outset, but I want to mention it. The name Potiphar, if you get back to the Hebrew, it could mean that he was a eunuch. And that would make what's going to happen next possible, even probable. So, if he were, I'm not sure of that, but I am almost sure of that. So, Potiphar was a eunuch. And, well, he's got a wife, but she probably was enamored with all of the sidelights of being the wife of someone like Potiphar, who was over the captain of the guard of the entire Egyptian regime. She probably got a lot of benefits from being the wife of someone that powerful with that much prestige. So, we read in verse 4, Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house. We said that. And all that he had, he put under his authority. Verse 5, so it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. That's, we call that blessing by association. This nation has been blessed by association because it has been filled with believers in Jesus Christ. This entire nation has been blessed because of that. Blessed by association. And we receive blessings by association of the believers that we know, that live around us. We receive blessings by being associated with believers. And so the Egyptian's house was being blessed by God for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Now for Potiphar to realize that God was blessing him because of his interaction with Joseph. That should be true with us. That could be true with us. That people could feel that their association with us is in itself a blessing. But because God blesses us, those blessings sometimes spring off of us and are spread to other people. That's that idea of being salt. That we flavor those around us. We give flavor to this nation that we live in as believers. We bring light to darkness. Verse 6. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hands, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. In other words, he left everything totally up to Joseph. He trusted him completely with everything. And Joseph obviously was found to be trustworthy. He didn't let him down. He fulfilled his role. He did exactly what Potiphar told him to do each day. He carried out his duties impeccably. And everything was running really smooth. Now we're going to begin a little pressure being brought into Joseph's life, because God's got to put him through these tests, these pressures, because he's going to make him into something very special. I've often thought about Joseph like being a caterpillar in a cocoon. You know, that caterpillar struggles as it begins to develop into a butterfly. It struggles. It's put through a lot of stress. And I don't know if insects feel pain, but probably a lot of pain in breaking free of that cocoon. And it's changing, it's transforming, metamorphosis it's called. It's transforming into a beautiful butterfly. Now, I understand this from entomologists, that if you try to help that butterfly in any way, if you physically tried to help him, you saw him struggling in, or her struggling in that cocoon, and you tried to help her in any way, then it would usually doom the butterfly, because she wouldn't have the muscles to fly. She had to go through that stress. She had to go through that pain. She had to go through all of that to get out of that cocoon to give her the ability to fly. Well, that's exactly what's going on now with Joseph. God is preparing him for something very special. So many times in our life as believers, God brings testings, stressful times. There's two words I love in Scripture, pirasmos and dokimazo. I know you're impressed with that, aren't you? There are two kinds of pressure that God brings in our life. He brings pressure to strengthen us. He lets us go through trials and problems and difficulties and pain to strengthen our faith in Him, to strengthen us spiritually. And just like that butterfly, He wants us to fly. And that's found in the word dokimazo. That's another word for testing. But that's testing in order to approve. That means we've succeeded. Those tests have worked. And we've become all that we can be for God in the end. Because of the stress, because of the problems, because of the pain. So Joseph is now entering into that time of testing. Now it's not, it's pirosmos testing at this point, not dokimazo. But dokimazo is coming for Joseph. But it's going to be a long time coming. So here we go. Final part of verse 6, it says, "Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance." Uh-oh. That's not a good thing if you're living with Potiphar's wife. And God is kind of, you can just feel the music begin to increase in volume. The stress begin to build. And if, especially if Potiphar is a eunuch, boy, now we've got a real problem. "He was handsome in form and appearance." Now verse 7. "And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes at Joseph. And she said, 'Lie with me.'" Now that set up that first huge pirosmos. That first huge test that Joseph was going to have to go through. She attempted to seduce him. It's hard to maintain the dignity of the clergy and say that. That's exactly what's happening. She's throwing it out there really plain and clear. And she didn't beat around the bush, did she? She said, "Come lie with me." And she laid it before Joseph. Here's a young guy, good looking. Nobody's in the house. Nobody's within miles of the house, probably. He's alone with this woman. That's where we are right here. First pirosmos, first big test. Verse 7. Or verse 8, rather. "And he refused." Well, hold it. He refused. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, flee fornication. Run. That's exactly what he did. He ran. We're all going to face tests like that. We're all going to face times of stress and pressure where it's difficult for us because of the sin nature we have from Adam. It's difficult for us to say no. You say, well, why would Joseph say that? Well, Joseph knew that God's hand was on his life. He knew that. He knew it probably from his dad. He knew it from his family. He knew who he was. So he said no. Not only did he say no, look in verse 8, he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in this house. He doesn't know what's going on here. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I." He realized that. "Nor has he kept back anything from me." Now stop right there. Those little words, like that next word, are very important sometimes. He's kept nothing from me. Little word, what? But. Circle those little words. They have huge meanings. But you. Because, here's the reason, you are his wife. I love that about Joseph. That surfaced his character. That surfaced his integrity. That surfaced his relationship to God. He wasn't a pretend believer. He was a believer. He was living it. He was put in that situation, and he passed the perosmos. He passed the test. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against you, Potiphar? Is that what he said? Look at the text. Is that what he said? Look at it closely. And sin against you, Potiphar. Is that what he said? No. What did he say? Read it. A God. Yeah. And sin against God. He realized that it would be far more than just a sin against Potiphar. It'd be a sin against the living God. Now, I love the definition that I have for the Christian life is a close, personal, private, intimate relationship with Jesus Christ that begins with knowledge but ends with obedience. We are to obey. God wants us to obey. God wants us to know His Word, but He wants us to obey His Word. And that's exactly what Joseph is doing. And he realizes that to do this would be a sin against my God. Now, this is all in private. The only one that's aware of this now publicly is he and the woman. Verse 10. So it was as she spoke to Joseph day by day. This went on day after day after day. It didn't let up. That he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside. They were alone, he and Potiphar's wife. Here's what happened, look in verse 12, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." I mean, she's at this point gonna make it happen. She's gonna make it happen. But I love what Joseph, how he responded. Look at this. But he left his garment. He gave her the coat. He gave her his outer garment in her hand, and he fled and ran outside. That's what that passage in 1 Corinthians 6 says. Flee fornication. Run. That's what he did. Run. Look at verse 13. So it was when she saw that he had left his garment. Now she was furious probably at this point. Very upset, in her hand, and fled outside, verse 14, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, now she's going to come up with a good story here, she's going to lie, saying, "See, he has brought to us a Hebrew to mock us." That's a lie, obviously. "He came into me to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice." Looks bad for Joseph, doesn't it? Gonna get worse. Gonna get a whole lot worse. Now, there she is. She's holding the garment. She's got the evidence in her hand. Look at verse 15. "And it happened when he heard that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled and went outside." He ran for it. Verse 16. "So she kept his garment with her until his master came home." Now, things are going to get warm right now. Going to get real hot for Joseph. Let me ask you this. Is it always comfortable to do the right thing for us? No. It's not comfortable. And sometimes it's heartbreaking to do the right thing. Sometimes it's very stressful to do the right thing. And especially if there's a crowd you're around that respect you, people that care for you, to stand up for what you know to be right, the right thing to do. Adam is strong in this teacher. He's strong in me. And it's very difficult to maintain that close, personal, private, intimate relationship with Christ in time as I go through life. Because the Adamic sin nature inside of me is very strong, just like it's inside of all of us. Very strong. Verse 17, then she spoke to him, this is to Potiphar, with words like these, saying, the Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came in to me to mock me. Filling in a lot of details that were really not necessary. The coat alone would have been enough. Look in verse 18. So it happened as I lifted my voice and I cried out that he left us his garment with me and fled outside. So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, your servant did to me after this manner, that his anger was aroused. Hebrew would say he was furious. He was real mad. Verse 20. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison. Gracious. I don't see here anywhere in writing where Joseph tried to defend himself. Scripture tells us our defense comes where? From the Lord. He is our defender. He is the one who will stand in our place. In fact, I found when I've tried to defend myself, I just get deeper and deeper in a mess. It's best just to leave it up to the Lord. Now, if you have the integrity to say it, to integrity in your life, when you say, I did not do it, there's a lot of people who have watched you for a lot of years, and they're going to say, we're going with him. We know him. We've lived around him. We're going with him. He says he didn't do it. We believe it. But this is not Potiphar's situation. That's not Joseph's situation. Joseph is a slave. Joseph was bought and put in that position. He's a slave. He doesn't have any clout with Potiphar at all. None. Verse 20, and here's what happened. Then Joseph's master took him and put him into prison. Goodness. So he's gone from the pit to be a slave to Potiphar. Now he's in prison. Sometimes you say, well, cheer up, things could get worse. And he cheered up, and sure enough, things got worse for him. It was really bad now. He knew he was innocent. She knew he was innocent, but Potiphar was doing what Potiphar, you would expect him to do, and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. Now that it was a, as prisons go, it was the best prison he could be put in, because he was put in prison with the king's special people that the king had thrown into prison for various reasons. Well, God had something cooking here. It wasn't the low prison with all of the thieves and the criminals. It was the king's, Pharaoh's prison. It was where he put his dignitaries that he didn't trust. He would put them in this prison. And probably the more intelligent people were in that prison. And he was there in prison, it says in that last line of verse 20. And he was there in prison. That's where we leave him. Boom. right there. So, what's the next word in verse 21? But, there it is again. Oh, you can really learn a lot from Scripture just circling those little words, because they're there for a reason. It's like those therefores. Someone said, what is the therefore, therefore? Circle them. They're very important. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him, I love this, mercy, kesed. Mercy. Undeserved mercy. Nothing that Joseph had done to earn it. God chose to be merciful. As a believer, would we rather have God's justice or His mercy? And we want mercy. We don't want justice. So, Joseph got mercy. And he gave him favor, watch this, in the sight of the keeper of the prison. So Joseph went from the head of the household of Potiphar to the administrator in the prison. Because, of his integrity. It was visible to people who saw him that he was a person of integrity, good character. He was a good young man. And they saw that. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Verse 22, and the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. From then on, who's doing? Joseph's doing. He was in charge. He came from being in charge of Potiphar's household. Now he's in charge of the prison. Here's what I'm reading when I'm seeing this. God is up to something. Joseph now is going through a lot of stress, a lot of pressure, a lot of painful experiences. He was under perosmos, testing. Paul used those words often, perosmos and dokimazo. Those two words are in Paul's vocabulary. Stress and pressure brought into our life to strengthen our faith, to build up our character, to build up that integrity that we're supposed to have. And that's why the pressure came. And what was in Joseph came out. It was in there. Now he had every reason to be angry. He had every reason to be angry, obviously, with his brothers, hate them. He had every reason to be angry with the Arab band that sold him. He had every reason to be angry with Potiphar, with Potiphar's wife, with everybody. But he wasn't. And I get the impression that he was pretty calm for a young man during all this. There was no shouting, no yelling. He just allowed the Spirit of God to move him from one place to another. That's what I want for my life. I want to allow the Spirit of God to move me. I told my wife at the beginning of this COVID experience, I'm not afraid of COVID. I want people to hear about Jesus Christ. I want people to know Him. And I sincerely mean that. So I want to so live my life that I can communicate that. That's why I love being a part of that Salt and Light ministry. That's what that's all about. So now Joseph is the head of the prison. Verse 22. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. He was in charge from then on. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority. Boy, I love that. He just turned it over to him. That's got to be God's doing. and for Potiphar to turn over his whole household to this young guy. That's what smacks me. It's got to be God's doing. Here it comes again. How many times did we say this was in here? Four times. Because the Lord was with him. Four times in here. That's a good way to answer people who have struggles if they know Jesus Christ as Savior. Listen, the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. He will protect you. He will shield you. The Lord was with him, and whatever he did, the Lord made to what? To prosper. Man, to me, that's a beautiful testimony. But he's going through now Parasmos. Those are the testings. He's headed toward Dokimazo, that final test. But you've got to go through these, like that butterfly, you got to go through strengthening yourself by getting out of that cocoon so you can fly. I love grace because grace means, when I understand grace, when I understood the grace of God in Jesus Christ, that I had eternal life, I could never lose that eternal life, that I was in His hand, Christ's hand, God the Father's hand held on to me. I could never lose that. I was free to fly. I could fly. But I was also free to serve Him. That's what I decided to do. To become a doulos, a bond slave, a slave that had been set free, yet then chose to serve the Master freely. That's where Joseph is. Joseph, he already committed himself a long time ago to do what God told him to do. And he's living out now that plan for his life. And the Lord made him to prosper. Those are the final words in this chapter. And I know that you know this, but whatever we have as believers, whatever we end up with in this life, is all of the Lord, not us. It's Him. It's Him. And God has chosen to use the weak things of the world, like myself, to do His work and His will. And He's going to do the same with Joseph. Remember, we started with the pit. We've gone to Potiphar. Now we're in prison. But next is that word, power. We're going to get there next week. We're going to find out what happens to this young man. He's in prison. I think one of the things we're going to want to know is how long does he stay there before God does something amazing. We've got to come back next week to find out. Don't read ahead. Marietta, don't read ahead. I know you will. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for the Lord Jesus. We thank You for salvation so rich and free. And we thank You for Your Word, which is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. We're thankful that it has power, Father, to draw people to Jesus Christ. It has power to strengthen us as believers, to teach us, to equip us, to motivate us to do that which You want us to do. So help us to teach it. Not only teach it, but live it. Obey it. And Father, we're grateful for Joseph and for how this all turns out. It's amazing what he had to go through to get to where he ended up. But that's like our life. We're the same. We go through those trials. We go through that Parasmos. But eventually we get to the Dokimazo, that final testing. And we find that God has given us the strength to bear even that. And thank You for our time tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.